There's a quarterback battle brewing up in Seattle. So after Washington football's spring showcase over the weekend, is there a clear front runner? We'll look at that today. Let's go.
Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Locked On Pac-12. I'm your host, Spencer McLaughlin, D1 play-by-play broadcaster. Thank you for making this your first listen or your first view if you're watching on YouTube every day. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your number one source to stay up to date with the Conference of Champions every single weekday. And it is great to have you in. I am in a different location than I was recording yesterday's show. I'm now in Anaheim, California at my brother's apartment. Those of you watching on YouTube, you see a cool piece of artwork behind me. It is from The Force Awakens. It was one of the cooler scenes in the film in what was overall a below average movie. But God help us all if I get on a Star Wars tangent. So let's jump into football here and look at the Washington Huskies, because they had their spring showcase over the weekend. And the biggest thing going in is right now, Washington doesn't have an official starting quarterback named, but they have an actual battle going on, right? I mean, I don't know if Oregon has officially announced that Bo Nix is their starter, or if other schools like Washington State have officially announced that Cameron Ward is going to be the starter, right? But you kind of know, right? That stuff is unofficial, and so there not being an official declaration of this guy's our starting quarterback carries a little bit more weight at a school like Washington, where you actually don't know. And I think it's reasonable to assume that the coaching staff is still thinking about which direction they're going to go with regards to a signal caller this year when fall camp and the season comes around. So biggest takeaways from the spring preview over the weekend, let's start with the quarterbacks. And there are three in the room right now who are competing for the starting job, and none of them differentiated themselves over the weekend. That was for sure. And I think that was a pretty widely held consensus as well. So Michael Penix is one of the names that's back there for new head coach Kalen DeBoer. And he transferred in the offseason from Indiana. He's back there with Dylan Morris, who was last year's starter in a 4-8 season for Washington. And then Sam Heward, who also made some appearances last season, but struggled pretty heavily. A former 5-star quarterback recruit and the son of Brock Heward is those are the three guys. So let's start with Michael Penix. And I was pretty surprised at his transfer from Indiana. Now, to be fair, I haven't done a deep dive on the Hoosiers football team and, you know, what their quarterback situation looks like. But he's been there the last couple of years. They've been a solid program. You know, they had that big win during the 2020 season against Penn State when he's, you know, reaching the ball out to the pylon. I was surprised to see him leaving Indiana. I didn't think he was going to come to Washington, but he's coming into a situation where he's getting a legitimate chance to compete. And so over the weekend on Saturday, I think he showed a couple of things. You know, when you watch Penix play, he doesn't look like a very easy thrower of the football, but he does have a great touch and he's got decent mobility. Like I said, he had that big exciting play against Penn State where he scrambled out of the pocket and was able to reach and just get the ball over the pylon, or so the officials ruled. It looked like, I don't want to legislate stuff 2 years ago, but I'm going to do so briefly anyway. It looked like to me that he barely did enough to allow that 2-point conversion to count, and they pulled the upset there in college, or up in Penn State. So when you watch him play quarterback, he doesn't have a huge arm. That's not a hallmark of his game. And he showed that over the weekend. He threw a couple of interceptions. And, you know, is it the end of the world? No. But when you're factoring in who's going to be the starting quarterback, you're trying to look at how can one guy differentiate himself from the other? What sort of traits does this guy have that guy doesn't? What does he do well that this guy does not? And Penix, I think that what he brings is experience, number one. And Dylan Morris has that as well, who I'll get to next, and then we'll round it out here, talking the quarterbacks with Sam Heward. But he's got a nice touch on his throws, you know, the intermediate short passes, occasionally deep ball, but really on the intermediate throws, he's got great touch, and he knows how to work around what is a pretty limited arm. And, you know, one of the interceptions he threw, the guy looked like it was wide open, but the ball took too long to get there and it was picked off. So I think that's a limitation for him in that sense. However, I would start him over Dylan Morse. That's just my assessment. That's not an inclination I have from the coaching staff or anything. They've been, you know, right down the line, typical coach speak in the realm of, we don't have a starting quarterback right now. We're still evaluating. I think that's where they should be, because all these guys, like I said, have, you know, characteristics that allow them to stand out more than the others. So Dylan Morse on Saturday, look, last season he struggled. If you watched any Washington football, you know that Dylan Morse struggled at the quarterback position. I think the, you know, what he showed on Saturday was he looked more confident throwing the ball in kind of the intermediate to long range throws. And that's something that he struggled with a season ago. He would lock onto receivers a number of times or just wasn't particularly accurate. He's got a decently strong arm. I think it's definitely stronger than Michael Penix. He's not as accurate as Penix is as a thrower. And, you know, if I had to choose only between those two guys, I would go with Michael Penix, just because I've seen him win at the Power 5 level, and I haven't seen Dylan Morris show a lot. You know, he's, I think, a serviceable backup. I think he's a pretty quality backup if you could keep him on the roster, should he not get the starting job this year if you're Washington. But overall, I'm not a huge Dylan Morris fan. I'm sure there are plenty of Husky fans out there who feel the same way. So he did look better. He looked, you know, more confident in the pocket. He was showing off the arm strength, delivered a couple of really nice throws, but still, it's hard to erase the image of 2021 knowing what he is at the quarterback position. And finally, the guy that Washington fans are waiting for to pop is Sam Heward. And he had, all in all, a good spring game. He's still a little raw, the former five-star recruit. I think he just needs more reps. Now, a lot of you might be thinking, well, does that mean he should just be the starter because he needs more reps in order to develop? No, sometimes guys need more practice reps before they're ready to get the game reps. And look, for some guys, the light goes on right when you get to college. It clicks right away, and you can step in and be a starter as a highly rated recruit. For other guys, it takes a little bit more time to develop, and maybe you don't live up to the hype you had as a five-star quarterback recruit. But I think that Sam Heward, certainly among the three of them, and I would be hard-pressed to find anyone who cast doubt on this, he has the highest ceiling of the three. His physical traits, I think his throwing motion, he's certainly got the best arm of the three. He's got great size. He's decently mobile, but you just watch him throw from the pocket, and when he delivers a strong, confident ball, it looks the best of the three. And I don't think that's even close. I like the idea of Sam Heward starting after he's had a chance to learn from a savvy veteran a little bit more. Because a year ago, he sat behind Dylan Morris. And I'm not trying to make this personal. Nothing I ever say on here is personal. It's just about the on-field product. Dylan Morris was not very good last year. And so I don't know how much Sam Heward can really learn from a guy like that. But if I'm Washington, I would look very strongly at starting Penix this year with the intention to start Heward next year. Now, if Heward comes into fall camp and is just tearing it up, looks ready to go, and by the way, he has improved from what we saw last year on the field, and he showed that on Saturday, had some really nice throws, and, you know, I also don't know if this matters a lot. It could, but Penix is a lefty, and Heward is a lefty, so I feel like that mentorship also could be a little bit tighter in terms of the growth and development that Sam Heward could have under Kalen DeBoer. But he's also improved with just Dylan Morris there, and Penix came in the offseason. So, you know, there's still plenty you can take away. But I just had that thought, wrote it down, thought I would share. But Kalen DeBoer praised him for not overanalyzing in the spring showcase on Saturday and getting through his progressions. And that was something that was a big issue for him in 2021. I mean, he looked like a true freshman. You know, he would stare down throws. He wouldn't see defenders. He didn't read coverages correctly. He looked like he did a much better job of that on Saturday. And when he showcases the arm talent and everything is flowing, Sam Heward has the potential to be a starting quarterback at Washington and one of the best in the Pac-12. He has got every physical tool in the bag. He's got a strong arm. He's got good size. He's got great touch on the deep balls, which I'll get to a little bit as well. But that's kind of the rundown of the quarterbacks. I don't think DeBoer had, you know, sometimes coaches will say, no, we have an open competition. Is it really an open competition? I think this truly is one. You know, I think if Heward starts to have things click for him, he could win this job. Dylan Morris, maybe they, you know, like his arm a little bit more than Penix, but you bring in a transfer like Penix, it tends to have, you know, a little bit of an advantage from Penix's standpoint when it comes to who's going to start next year, because you come in from a Power Five school as a transfer, you're thinking you're going to start. But I don't believe that he is the surefire starter. I would go with him right now based on what I've seen on Saturday and what I know about these guys. That doesn't mean that I'm going to hold that same opinion come, you know, their season opener this year. I believe it's against Kent State. Because information, the new information can come out, right? Is it could, you could get to fall camp and then all of a sudden it's all there for Heward and he's just clearly the best quarterback. And then you roll with him because you want him to be the guy. And maybe Penix has to be a stopgap for a year, which I think would be fine because this Washington team is probably a couple of years away from, you know, fully getting some recruiting classes in there and embracing the system and getting the right players into what DeBoer is trying to do. It might be a good idea to just, you know, not rush Sam Heward. And, you know, the other side of that coin, though, is you want to play him, get him experience, get the kinks out early, and by the time the team is ready to compete again, which they won't be for 2 or 3 years, at least at a high level in the Pac-12, I don't think, just looking at the roster and where the program is at writ large, maybe that's the play. Maybe that's the play, but we don't know. We don't know yet, so that's enough on the quarterbacks here. A couple other takeaways from the spring showcase over the weekend in Seattle. The offensive line needs a lot of work. Now, it's tough to have clear takeaways sometimes in the spring game when you're going up against your own guys because, you know, players are familiar with one another from practice, so they know their tendencies, their moves, and, you know, they just have a better idea of how to beat them. It's like when I played my brother in ping pong, he was a much better player than me. But as I played him over and over and over again, I could learn how to beat him and have more success relative to other people. He was a very, very good ping pong player back in the day. I could figure out how to beat him better than other people because I went up against him more and more. You have a little bit of that when you're talking about a spring game, but when trends are showing up routinely, when you watch the film and watch the spring showcase, that's something where you can say, okay, this is clearly an area of growth. And the Washington offensive line needs a lot of work. Now, they were missing a starter or two, but they struggled to create running lanes all day. Some of it was good defense. A good chunk of it was there was just no push from the offensive line. But the biggest area where I think they've got to improve, they did not pick up blitzers well. I mean, some of the slide protections they had, and this is getting very X's and O's, but I'm all about that sort of stuff as a football fan. They were not strong in that area. So they need to improve in that realm of their offense. But I think that sort of stuff comes with time. And I think you've got a decent amount of roster turnover, more on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, there are some changes on the offense as well. And they're implementing a new system that they look very raw. They were not crisp, where I think DeBoer will have them in a couple of years. And I think he's a really good coach. I think Washington made a good hire there. I think that they are going to need some time to be able to fully implement his system there and, you know, have it running smooth and fluid, but it's definitely not there yet. Offensive line, an example of that. A couple other takeaways, ending here talking offense on a positive note. The tight ends continue to be a position of strength for Washington. Cade Otton has been phenomenal the last few years. He's off to the NFL. There's a great video out there of him reacting to getting drafted. And, you know, it's such an awesome thing to see when guys have that moment. It's really, really fantastic. But, you know, I guess now you can count on Washington to have good tight ends and good DBs. So that's just kind of how that's just kind of how they are. You know, that's kind of how they're branding themselves, certainly as DBU. That brand continues to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. The other thing that was very notable here in the first season and the first spring showcase for Kalen DeBoer, tempo, tempo, tempo. We have not seen that from Washington over the years, and that was clearly a point of emphasis. So that's going to be a new element to Washington's offense that Husky fans are going to have to adjust to. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all because, you know, they've typically been a little bit more pro style, a little bit more traditional, not spreading it out a ton. They will a little, you know, over the last couple of years with Jimmy Lake and Chris Peterson, but you know, their offense coordinator at one point in time was Jonathan Smith, and you watch what he runs to Oregon State. They're not quite as spread out. Now, it's very effective. Doesn't mean you can't do that, but DeBoer typically, you know, is going to be a little bit more of the modern spread attack, a lot of modern concepts, all that sort of stuff. And so I think that's a good thing, you know, and that's part of the adjustment I was talking about earlier with the offensive line. Every unit will have to adjust to that, right? Playing at that sort of tempo and implementing those sorts of schemes, it's going to take some adjustment because guys haven't been doing that in the last couple of years, or maybe just last year if they're a freshman at Washington most recently. So I think that's part of the adjustment, but that was noticeable. That was present early and often. That they were going to play with tempo. So I think that'll be a different look for Washington's offense this year. And I think that's a good thing. I want to tell you about three players who earned playing time in the spring showcase over the weekend. First, I want to tell you about BetOnline, your number one source for all your sports betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to the playoffs, esports, and more. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to plug. Go Mariners. I have to. Go Mariners, always. But you can bet on the Mariners and every other Major League Baseball team at BetOnline. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Three players who earn playing time for Washington in their spring showcase. So, first of all, the passing game had some highlights. The passing game had some less than spectacular areas as well. But overall, I was really impressed with the defensive back. So, the first player who, you know, really stood out was Alex Cook, who had that interception I alluded to earlier in the show from Michael Penix, where it looked like there was a receiver open, but his arm wasn't quite strong enough to, you know, make that read late as he did. If he'd thrown it with more anticipation, it would have been open. But Cook ranged over, made a really nice play. He looks to be a promising player once again for Washington. And I list him because he made the interception, but literally anybody who has the defensive back designation on the roster probably looked good on Saturday. Like if you watch the tape, the way they played, you know, a lot of zone coverage on defense, but they were disciplined. They were solid and they were pressing up. I liked what I saw from the defensive backs quite a bit. And Cook is one of the leaders in that unit. Also defensively, you've got Zion Tupuola-Fatui. Now, Washington guys will remember this name because he was hurt last year and he's been battling injuries, but he looked to be back at full strength. He made two tackles in the first three plays in this game. And one of them, he was chasing Penix out of the pocket. I think that was a little bit later. I could be wrong. You can correct me in the comments below on YouTube if you're watching, if you know. But he was making plays, and he looked to be back to full strength. And after losing Sam Taimani, who transferred to Oregon this offseason, Washington is, you know, trying to fill some of that production on the defensive line. Taimani was one of the five highest-graded interior defensive lineman in the Pac-12 a season ago. So losing him leaves a little bit of a void, and Tupuola-Fatui really looks like he's going to be back at full strength, and that's going to be big for Washington in this defense, because there'll be plenty of tension on the offense with Kalen DeBoer, and it's a new system and he's an offensive coach. And you know, they beat UCLA last year in what was an amazing, amazing game. And they very nearly beat Oregon down at Autzen Stadium too. So plenty of promise there on the offensive side. And so that'll always leave some questions in the eyes of fans. Like, so what about defense? Like, is it going to be okay? Is it like, are we fine? Or like, what's going on there? So that's another guy who I think Husky fans should expect to hear from plenty this fall. The other one, and this was the biggest play by far of the entire spring showcase, Lonyata Alexander Jr. He goes by Junior Alexander. He's a redshirt freshman. He transferred to Washington from Arizona State in January in what has become kind of a mass exodus from Arizona State as of late. He had a catch down the sideline that is one of the best catches you will ever see. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. I assure you, it won't disappoint, because it was pretty fantastic. And by the way, it came from Sam Heward, which is something Husky fans should be very excited about, because that sort of promise, as you know, one of the highest rated quarterback recruits in program history, maybe the highest. I have not double checked that, but I'd be willing to venture a guess and say that he is, at least in the 24/7 recruiting era. He showed this beautiful trajectory on the throw down the sideline. He was left as a left-handed quarterback, and you know, I never played quarterback. That might be obvious if you've ever seen me stand up. I'm, you know, every inch of 5'8" and a half, you know, when I'm wearing shoes. So that was never a position that I played. I also didn't play a ton of football. I was a kicker in football, if you're really wondering, in middle school for a few years. I was pretty good at it, but not much else. Not my sport. Golf is a little bit more of my speed. Anyway, Heward throwing to his left, and I brought that up because I wasn't sure if it's easier to throw to your front side or your back side. I feel like it just kind of depends on the quarterback. But throwing to his front side, he dropped this ball into the bread basket, or half of a bread basket, I should say, because Junior Alexander made a one-handed snag with a DB all over him. Again, I was really impressed with the DBs in this game. This was good coverage. This was not, you know, an open receiver and the ball's a little off target and a guy makes a great play to save it. No. This was good coverage. This was taking a one-on-one shot, and this was Junior Alexander making one heck of a catch. And he was definitely the biggest offensive star outside of the quarterbacks in the spring showcase on Saturday. And by the way, he actually was high school teammates with Sam Heward at Kennedy Catholic High School in Bellevue, Washington. So there's a history there with those two, and that was on display because following up that amazing catch later in the drive, I'm pretty sure it was the same drive, Heward delivers this dart of a back shoulder throw to Kennedy, who has his defender staring at him. He turns, waits till the very last second to put his hands up, pirouettes around, snags him with two hands in front of his face mask, toe taps inside the pylon for the touchdown. That was an impressive sequence. And I think Washington fans probably saw that and caught a glimpse of what they hope the future will be. The past chemistry between those two was clearly there, and I wonder how much that could play into the quarterback battle this fall, because I think that's one of the things to look at going forward. You know, I mean, Junior Alexander, definitely going to be a prominent player this year for the Huskies. As they look to the quarterback battle this fall, though, and which quarterback is looking the best, if Heward has that sort of dynamic, it can make those sorts of plays routinely when they come back for fall camp, that could make him stand out in a significant way, because Alexander features to be a prominent wide receiver for the Huskies this season. And if he's able to help Heward look impressive to the coaches in fall camp, then boy, that could help his chances a lot. Going forward, the storylines for Washington football as we wrap up on the Huskies, and I'll be bringing on a Washington expert to bring more insight in the coming episodes, which is why you should like and subscribe wherever you are listening to and or watching the show right now. I won't tell you who it is. We'll keep that a little bit of a surprise, but it is someone who knows the Huskies quite well, I will say, and hopefully we'll be able to make regular appearances here on the show. But going forward, I think the biggest question marks right now is how quickly is the offense going to get in sync? I've alluded to it a couple times here on the show. It did not look as fluid as you would like if you're a Washington fan, but that's to be expected when you're implementing a brand new offense. You know, without a number one quarterback, by the way, so guys are, you know, getting used to a different cadence or adjusting to his rhythms or the throws that he's able to make, the way he delivers the ball, right? All that sort of stuff plays in. So I think that's part of why the offense was a little discombobulated. Plus they were missing a couple players from the spring showcase as well. But if they're going to do that and use tempo, you have to be able to execute. That's the biggest thing when you want to go fast is your team has got to be able to execute. And that's just not something Washington has done a lot of over the last couple of years. Hasn't been their identity offensively. DeBoer is coming in, and it looks like he's going to change that. So how quickly they can pick that up and how well they can pick that up is going to determine how successful this program will be in the near distant future. The next biggest storyline, of course, who's going to win the quarterback battle? And I really don't think we know. I would lean Michael Penix. I would put no more than maybe 45% confidence in that. Like it could really go either way. And, you know, DeBoer has been adamant that nobody is separated. And, you know, I would go, I'm not that high on Dylan Morris. I think we saw what we saw last year, and he doesn't appear to have a particularly high ceiling. So I would think the top two guys will be Michael Penix and Sam Huard, but I don't know that for certain, because Morris has got the experience factor way more so than Sam Huard does. So that can help him with some little stuff in terms of making reads that could help him look better in fall camp as they lead up to the season this year. So the other thing is we don't really know who Washington's running back is going to be. When you read stuff about people who cover the team, or from people who cover the team, that there's not a clear ball carrier there. And, you know, the offensive line has to be better than what they showed on Saturday, or else it's not really going to matter who the running backs are. But I think that's just a fascinating thing for Washington fans to look at right now, is going forward to the fall. If I asked you as a Husky fan, who's going to be your quarterback? Who's going to be your running back? I could ask five different fans. I could maybe get five different answers. They could, you know, they could mix and match all sorts of different players, because you just don't really know. And so I think there's a lot of questions offensively. I think defensively, Washington looks like they've reloaded pretty well. But, you know, you lose a couple of guys the first and second round, Gary, you're going to have to fill those voids. But Washington's brand is DBU, pretty darn strong right now, because they've got a lot of guys in the NFL. I think I saw something not that long ago that they have sent the most players to the NFL in the Pac-12 era. I could be wrong on that. You can fact check me, but I believe that is correct. More than Oregon or USC have sent. So they've been particularly strong on the defensive side of the ball, sending some really good players, you know, in the secondary, Vita Vea as well. They've sent some really big guys. So I'm not that worried about the defense. Even though they lost a lot of production, they've shown an ability as a program to reload, and I think that they're going to be able to do that even with a new coach. Finally here, as we wrap up the show, it's not a super serious thing, but there's one element of Washington that you know you're going to get this fall if you're a Husky fan. And that's that Peyton Henry is back for his 18th season of college football. Now, it's actually his sixth. 18th is an exaggeration. Kind of feels like the 18th. I mean, really, he has been there forever. But yeah, he redshirted in 17, and then he got the free COVID year. And so he's back for his sixth season in Seattle, and he'll be leading the special teams unit. And look, you never think a kicker matters until you have to hit a game winner. Every team in the Pac-12, every team in college football knows that. You never think about your kicker until he's coming up, trying to send the game to overtime, and then suddenly you're thinking, boy, has the coaching staff been putting enough effort into special teams, and do they pay attention enough? Has he been getting enough rep? Yeah, you don't think about that, but Husky fans don't have to worry about that with Peyton Henry back for another year of college football. I appreciate everyone listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll see you next time.